Well, good morning. This is Scott Wells for The Magic Word, and I'm sitting here in the President's Club real early in the morning. It's a little after 6 o'clock, getting ready to head to Philadelphia from Houston for the Magicians Alliance of Eastern States annual convention. This year, as I understand it, they had to move it over to the different hotel there in Cherry Hills, just outside Philadelphia, due to the problem. Apparently, they had another hotel that was that they'd been using over the previous years, but I guess they lost that, and so they had to scurry to find another one, and the only open date was to have been Labor Day weekend, which conflicts with the TAOM, unfortunately, too, for me, so I had to cancel my trip over to San Antonio. I know that is planned to be a pretty good convention and well attended, by about maybe 600-700 people, I believe, is what they're expecting in San Antonio this year. But enough of that. We're on to the MAES, and this is going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. A lot of top talent that's going to be there this weekend, and I look forward to talking with quite a few of them. I'm going to be doing my talk show, Now You See It, with Scott Wells, and we'll see who my guests will be. Depends upon who's going to be there as a talent. So that should be some kind of fun. Weather looks like it's good. The Hurricane Irene has passed through, as I understand it, and has whatever damage has left in the past or in its wake is apparently not going to be interfering with us for the convention. So I'm looking forward to it, and I will give you more details once that I arrive. So for now, Scotty out. Well, I'm here at the MAES finally in Philadelphia, and here in the dealer's room already with Denny Haney of Denny & Lee's. Hey, Denny, how's it going?
It's going great.
One of my favorite dealers, but I know you probably think I say it to all the dealers.
Yeah, I heard you say that before on podcast.
but I wanted just to talk with you. You'd said something interesting about you got a movie that's online now, a short featurette, or what was it?
It's a short. It's only a 9-minute short, and it's creating a lot of buzz. My daughter is an independent film producer.
What's her name?
Dawn Campbell.
Okay.
So it's D-A-W-N and Campbell. And she had an idea for a thing called The Finale. So she wrote it, scripted it, directed it, filmed it, and asked me to star in it. So I did. It's been creating quite a buzz. And I know it's on YouTube, but I don't know how to find it. So the title of the thing is The Finale, and Dawn Campbell is the director. I know it's on Jamie Swiss's Facebook already. He put it up.
Okay.
And a lot of the guys have it linked to their sites, but if you get a chance, you can spare 9 minutes. I think you'd get a big kick out of it.
I'll see if I can find a link to that, and I'll put it on the podcast here then as well. But tell me just a little bit about what it's about. Is it about magic?
It's about magic. I play the part of a magician.
As a dealer or as a performer?
Well, as a performer.
Okay.
And after seeing the movie, I've had a lot of people email me and say, you know what? I don't ever think I'm going to come into your magic shop again. And the people that don't know me and didn't realize I'm just acting, taking my daughter's direction, they're afraid to meet me now. So this might get your interest and get you enthused about watching this madman do this thing.
Now I'm interested.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back over to being a dealer now. I haven't been to your shop in Baltimore in a while, but is your pig still around?
Pig, baby, she's 17 years old now.
Goodness sakes.
She's long outlived her life expectancy. She's about 120 in human years.
Human years,
120. I love her to death, and she walks around all day in the shop.
Yeah, if you guys haven't been to the shop, it's quite an experience. First time that the pig is just like a dog. Come over to you, and you got a pet. It wags his tail. What's her name again?
Baby.
Baby, okay.
Yeah.
Now, how come there's not one out in the Las Vegas shop? Is there a law out there or something?
No, they allow a lot of pigs in Vegas. I've seen them.
There we go. Yeah. I just set them up, you knock them out of the park.
I think I've paid for a few, right?
Yeah. There you go. speaking of the shop then in Vegas, that's been open for how long?
Oh, actually, it's been open for many years under various management. But right now, we've had new management now for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Brown manages the shop out there, and he's really got that place all cleaned up and set up nice. And I tell you, it's a pleasure to go in the shop now.
And they've moved that to this
same strip center, but it's in a different part.
It's still in the same strip center. We've just moved to a better place, like two doors down from where it used to be.
Okay, which is right off Industrial, is that right?
Yeah, right off Industrial. Well, they call it Dean Martin Drive now.
Yeah, so they changed the name of it. That's
changed
right.
the name of it, Dean Martin Drive, and we're hosting a lot more lectures out there, and so things are going to do fine.
Yeah, it's just right down the street from my favorite place at In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger! Right. Yeah, right across from the Wild Wild West Casino.
That's right. They used to have a pretty good steak over there for like $12.95 or something.
Well, we used to walk out of the shop and walk down the Wild Wild West and get a steak dinner.
Yeah, that
like
was a great
deal.
Like
2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Wow. Yeah. That's what I like about Vegas. Any time of the day or night, you say, hey, I think I want a steak dinner. And you walk out your back door and you're there.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's always open.
Now, how many other magic shops are there? I guess there's Houdini's and Fantasma.
Yeah, Houdini's there in the casinos. And
yeah, like
Fantasma. Yeah, they're
in
the casino, aren't they?
I'm not sure.
No, I don't think Fantasma has a shop out there.
No?
No.
I guess I'm thinking of the Ring. It's the Fantasma
Ring. Right, the Fantasma Ring.
Ring.
They sponsor lectures. In fact, Fantasma's been holding their lectures at our shop.
Oh, they have? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because people need a place to hold these lectures, so we just open our shop to everybody.
How many people can that seat back there?
I don't know, I think about 30 or 40. And
okay.
Usually it's funny in Las Vegas. That's about the maximum you get.
Now, do you deal at this convention here at the MAS every year? I mean,
every year.
I never see the TAOM, you know, this.
Yeah, but I've been coming to the MAES for 50 years.
15 or 50?
50. 50.
That's almost how old
I am. I started coming here when I was 16 years old.
Goodness sake.
And getting into competitions and won some awards and stuff.
Right.
And so the MAES convention always has a soft spot in my heart. All the old guys I remember, the ones that helped me out so much. I remember when I was taking the Chavez course in magic. At the MAES every year was Walter Cummings, who was a teacher at the Chavez course. And he used to polish up all my problems. I'd just come, Mr. Cummings, I can't do this right. I can't. Well, move your finger down here. Move it. And he'd be smoking his pipe in his hands. Oh, and it was great. He helped me out. Everybody helped me at this convention. So,
and now you are passing that on to the younger generation, I'm assuming.
I'm trying, if they'd please listen. If they plead, please read a book.
And you got a lot of books. That's one thing I really admire about your shop.
Books.
That's right. You know, that's what Roger Klaus gave me. The best advice I can give you is to buy books.
That's it. You know, you take all these famous magicians who have toured the world. They've done so much, and they've put their life experiences and their teaching in between two hard covers of a book.
Right.
And yet, so many young magicians just want to see a DVD. Well, it's not where you get your learning. You get your learning from the written word.
Yep. I agree with you over there. Very well. Well, thank you, Denny. I appreciate your time and good luck.
My pleasure.
Good talking to you again.
Good to see you.
You too. Scotty out. All right, one more question I forgot to ask you. Since the podcast is entitled The Magic Word, let me ask you then, Denny, what is your magic word?
My magic word? Read.
I love it.
That is it.
That's a good one. Thanks a lot. Scotty out. All right, I'm here with Phil Messina from Binghamton, New York, and as we were chatting about something, it came to light that I thought you guys might be interested in hearing this story also. First of all, hello, Phil. How you doing?
Fine, Scotty.
We were talking about the Museum of Unknown Magicians. Yeah. Is that okay?
The Hall of Fame of Unknown Clowns and Magicians. We thought we might call it a museum, but we found out that in New York State, to have a museum, you need 10,000 lawyers. So we decided we would call it the Hall of Fame rather than a museum.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, back in about 1988, Charlie Zeus, known as Chazoo, and Willie Fertel, known as Willie Clown, decided that, hey, we ought to do something about all these magicians that kept magic alive between the demise of vaudeville and the start of television. And so they started talking around and asking people, well, who did magic for you? And over years, we gathered a lot of memorabilia from a lot of different ones. Some of them you might know, Larry West, Walter Cummings.
Sure.
And we have Walter Cummings' desk. Larry West, we have a desk. We have a whole bunch of his memorabilia from when he had the television show.
Yeah.
Carl Norman is in there. We had a Carl Norman room in the barn. And where the place was is it's the old Schuyler Farm in Herkimer, New York. And it's on the historic registry of places because it was built right after the Revolutionary War.
Okay.
So that's where the barn is. But over the years, we've accumulated a lot of stuff. And unfortunately, Charlie passed away on May 16th. And he has two daughters, both of whom live in Florida. And they're selling the place. So as third executive vice president, I've got the chore of finding a place for it to store it.
And moving all the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and moving all the stuff. And also setting up a place to have what we used to call the parlor foray, which is always the first Saturday in June. And the thing is, the other people that were involved were Alan Drew, myself, Ray Eiler, and his son Lee. And we pretty much, the last 6-7 years, kept it going and did all that. And then with Charlie's sudden passing, we thought we were going to have it this year, but his daughter Pam called me up and said, no, Charlie's last wish was that it go on. So we did it, and we had the parlor foray this year. But what's going to happen next year, I don't know. You know anybody that's got a good place to store about three great big rooms full of stuff? Let me know.
Now, tell me, as far as who comes into the Hall of Fame, I mean, is it open all the time by appointment only? And
well,
where exactly is it? And
well,
how can
someone
go visit?
Well, Schuyler Lake is just north of Cooperstown. And there's a Baseball
Ohio,
Hall of Fame.
Sure, okay.
And there are a lot of other summer things. So you do get a lot of summer visitors there. And in past years, he's had some college kids come up on the weekends, and there's a cottage on the place, and they used to sleep in the upstairs bedroom. They had cots, and they used to do magic shows on Saturday and Sunday for the people coming in. But that hasn't happened for the last 6 or 7 years, but at one time he did that.
So now really it's just, again, a Hall of Fame, but really a museum that people just come and look at stuff.
Right.
Do they charge a fee? Is it free, or how do they, and what funds this?
Well, actually what we do is most of the funding is done from the annual convention, which isn't expensive. For $40, you get three meals. You know, it's a one day, you get three meals, and then after Saturday night, we used to go up to the trailer on the lake and cook stuff. But what we did is we do a public show Saturday night, and usually we get 35, 40 people in there at $5 a head.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then $40 for three meals, I mean good meals, that was it.
Yeah, deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've had good people there. Andy Dallas, Phil Wilmart, Mike Miller, George Schindler. You know, we've had a lot of good people come and perform.
If they don't find a place for this, I mean, what is the deadline? I mean, does this look like something that's going to be closing like within the next month or year?
We were worried about it because the one daughter, Barbara, called Alan and said they wanted stuff out. But I talked to Pam the other one. She said, no, there's no hurry. They do want to sell it. But Alan thought that she said you're going to sell the stuff was in the barn. And she said, no, it's not in the barn.
Yeah.
Because what we did is I went there first weekend in July, right after the IBM convention. I went up there for 3 days, and we took everything out of the cottage and the house and put them in the back room of the barn.
Okay.
So
it's
all boxed up and stored.
But it's all for sale, I guess, then, right?
Well, no, it's not for sale. What we want to do is find a place to exhibit it.
Yeah, okay.
And, yeah. But there's a lot of artifacts in there. The other thing is there's a lot of old circus posters.
Mm-hmm.
Willie was well known. He traveled with the King Brothers and then with Barnum and Bailey Circuses, and he was well known as a clown.
And he collected a lot of this stuff?
Collected a lot of stuff, I mean. Now, we got boxes and boxes of stuff, and what we need is a place to store it.
Wow.
And then a place to hold the exhibit. Now, what Alan's talking about is maybe buying a big trailer and having it at different places, but my problem is how are you going to exhibit it?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So that's where we're at.
Thank you. But looks like that our lunch is coming, so I think everything's fine. Looks good. Thank you.
But if you guys got any questions or you got any suggestions,
happen to contact you?
Well, my home phone is area code 607-797-7241, and my email is pthemagi@juno.com.
There you go. So you got it. And because this podcast is called The Magic Word, let me ask you, Phil, what is your magic word?
My magic word. My magic word is please and thank you, because it works all the time.
Perfect. What a way to close it out. Phil, thanks very much. Scotty out. All right. Well, I'm still here at the MAS and talking now with Bill Rauscher. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Scott. Nice to see you.
Great to be here with you. I'm glad to see you here. This is the Magic Word, my podcast. I did want to ask you, since you were the author of John Calvert's biography, did you attend his 100th birthday?
I interviewed him at Magic in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
In New York, and it went very, very well. It was quite remarkable.
Tell me something about that.
Well, he was very much on that day.
Oh, good.
And my concern was he could hear what I was going to ask him.
Yes, exactly.
But we had some film clips of his career, a film clip of one of his movies as the Falcon, and
wow.
Then a series of questions, and also Tammy. I asked her questions.
Mm-hmm.
So it went very well. I was pleased. And part of it is on YouTube, if anyone would want to see it.
I would like to see that, yeah. You know, I had him as a guest, he and Tammy, at the house a while back, and I had interviewed him about aging, and I posted that on YouTube also. So talked about his family and their longevity and his secrets to long life and everything, so it's kind of interesting.
Well, he told me what he... I have a storehouse in my head of things he said through the years. But one of the things that stuck in my mind one time, he said, you know, he says, Bill, he says, when you get up in the morning, he says, you should be like me. I said, well, what do you mean, Charlie? He said, well, you remember those words of Shakespeare, all the world's a stage. And I said, yes. He says, well, you see, when I get up in the morning, I go out on stage. Now, he says, what you have to remember, though, young man, he says, is that, he called me young man. He says, is that you always have to play the part of a younger man.
Okay.
That was an embarrassing insight.
Man,
one time we were on the ship, and I said, you know, I like the twilights. Well, don't you like the dawn when things begin? So what you have in this gentleman is a horizon mentality. He's not going to drag the past. He's interested in what's out there, what's going to happen, what can be done. And this has stuck with him through the years. In some ways, he's ageless, and yet he's also a reminder of an era that's gone of the 40s. It's quite amazing. Always well-kept, always trying to look well, and always pretty much the gentleman. He told a young man once that I was with, he says, you know, he says, young man, if you want to be different, be a gentleman.
Yes.
And he said...
in today's society,
he said, if
different.
People don't like you when you walk out on the stage, you're not going to have a fan club. One time we were on the yacht, and these kids were looking at the yacht, this girl and this fellow. And that was when I was doing the book.
Yes.
And he looked, he said to me, he says, do you like this boat? He says to this fellow, oh, yes. He said, would you like to see it? And he said, well, you and your girlfriend can come on board. I'll show you the yacht. Well, this kid had long hair, and he had, you know.
Kind
and
of
he says,
hippie line.
Yeah, he said, do you have a job? And he said, well, and the girlfriend said, no, he doesn't, but he's looking for it. He says, well, I'll tell you what to do. He says, you take him to a barber. He says, you get his hair cut. You clean him up. Now, he says, I could give him a job on this yacht touring the world, but the customs people would tear this boat to pieces. I bet that kid went and got a you know,
probably
haircut.
Did. Yeah. Yeah, good advice.
But he's soft in that, but he's, you know, very...
He is very forceful.
Tell you what he
it
thinks.
Tells you what he thinks.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's opinionated.
He's a man's man and a ladies' man, in a way. He has a way of a magnetic way. He has true charisma. Charisma is one of the definitions of charisma is a divine kind of feeling or something. he has that, and he projects it, and boy, a lot of people like John, I'll tell you.
That's true. Let's step out of the air conditioning. Yeah. I'm directly right underneath it over here and move over here a little bit.
But that's just a little bit about Calvert.
As to his charisma, I have to say that you're absolutely right. He does have it. He has that
something
it factor.
You can't...
Today's reality stars, you know, they say have charisma. No, you know, they just got a good publicist.
And another thing is, not many, I don't know how many could hold a full evening performance today.
Right.
Even if it were available.
Mm-hmm.
So many acts are flash acts. There's no time to communicate and establish your personality.
Mm-hmm.
Calvert's approach to me was, he says, you must always make them remember your name.
Right.
See? And that's true.
Right.
People see somebody do terrific things and say, oh, gee, that was great. They did. Well, who were they? I don't remember the name.
Perfect example. Whenever that someone comes back from a cruise ship, they say, oh, this house is wonderful. The magician, he did this and this.
Who was he?
And they never, remembered the person's name.
That's right.
They remember the tricks, but not the name. Now, Calvert has a way, certainly, of having people remember him, and he has a certain persona. You know, and you're right, as far as always being a gentleman, when he was the house, he'd wear a tie when he'd come down for breakfast.
Yeah,
I know.
And no, he's of another time, yet anchored in our time. And the fact that he has lived to be 100, you know, that little book that he wrote, How to Live to be 100, I don't know whether you've seen it.
No, I haven't seen that.
Well, it's a little hardback. It's very charming. Try to get it.
It just come out recently?
Yeah, epicproductions.com, they're selling. I think Sammy Smith printed it,
okay.
In his publishing
firm. I can check with Sammy.
Yeah. But Calvert is an icon, I think.
And Tammy is just a perfect
she's wonderful.
Assistant and wife wonderful. And companion and soulmate.
That's true.
And everything.
That's true.
You know, and she just
no
is
question
taking
about
care
it.
Of him and watching him
they
through everything.
They truly are unique, even without the magic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're good people.
He has such a presence about him wherever he goes. Yeah. It seems like just in looking at him that that he is or was somebody or should be somebody famous. Like, you look like somebody. Well, he has.
Well,
of course,
if he were in a room, and there were 100 people, and somebody said, "Where's John Calvert?" and you never met him. Just pick somebody. They'd be able to pick him out.
That's a very good point.
You know?
Yeah.
But he's the epitome of gracious aging, really.
I would say that. And I also say, going back to the book, that was one of the most fantastic reads. Every chapter read like its own book. I mean, each chapter was its own movie into itself.
Well,
he's done so much.
Lots happened since then. I mean, that book goes back
80s?
A ways now.
When was that? 87, 8, somewhere in there?
So I spent a lot of time on the yacht with him, you know.
Yeah. Did you travel,
the Cumberland River and all that kind of thing. You know?
Now, how did he select you, or how did you find each other, I should say, to be his biographer?
I saw him as a boy. I must have been 16, so I don't know, at Lowe's Theater in New York. And for some reason, he stuck in my head for years. I don't know why, because he was, at that time, he was sort of ahead of his time. You know, I can't explain it. And it was John Calvert, his Magic and Model Show, direct from Hollywood. And then the next time, later years, I went to a convention in New York, and he was there. And we talked and so on, and he knew that I'd done other things. And Tammy said, why don't you ask Bill to do this book, because he gets things done. Well, anyway, that led to this and that and that. And then I went down to where they had the yacht down south, and worked with him, recorded hours and hours and hours, and I checked my stories too, you know, because they were rather unusual, do you know? I mean, his encounters were, as I said, Indiana Jones-like.
Yes, very much so.
They used to say that, who is the actor that was supposed to have done all this stuff? Not
Harrison Carroll, or Harrison Ford.
No. Errol Flynn, you know.
Errol
that's
Flynn.
Yachts.
Okay.
But John really did all this stuff, see?
Yeah.
So, he has a lucky angel. I always said I wouldn't go on an elevator with John Calvert. Things happen. I mean, he's accident-prone, but he escapes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's true, like the airplane and different, and the yacht blowing up, or the treading water
fragile,
for 6 hours.
He's fragile, and my gosh, he's 100 years old. Come on. I don't know how he's going to go to the Palladium, but he's going to do it.
Right.
And why not? Why not?
Well, let me ask you, as far as other books, have you got, has anyone else captured your attention like John, or is there any one thing?
Well,
thing
I've done other.
On?
I've done, as you know, the other books like Leroy
right.
and Great Raymond. And, but now
but those were not friends of yours, like John.
No, I didn't
yes,
know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. But I did know Milbourne Christopher, whom I'm working on now.
Oh, fabulous!
That will be probably my last effort.
I'd love to get a copy of that. Yeah.
And that's I got about a number of chapters, but it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
These things don't happen. You know, books are first of all, magic books, magic history books, are financial disasters.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've
we don't have a great input of people that are running to read magic
right.
history. And it doesn't wind up in Borders and things like that. Trick
yeah.
books still
yeah.
go.
And DVDs.
But most tricks now are on DVDs.
Right.
I mean, you get a 20-year, 16-year-old can do card fans. Well, when we had to look, read a book and figure out where to put your fingers,
right.
now you have a teacher that's showing you on a DVD.
Right.
But the history of magic is very important because it's theater history. That's the way I treat it.
Right.
Theater history, not just magic history. So Christopher I knew very, very well. And I'm in the midst of that.
See, I would think that by having that sense of friendship that you know someone, that
yeah.
you could write so much
comes
easier because you know some of the story. It does come alive.
But
you
then
know.
Again, when I did The Great Raymond, whom I knew Walter Gibson very well, I knew Lichka, mm-hmm. who was married to Raymond. But when you get into something like that, you feel sometimes you get to know the person.
Yes.
Even though you have not met them
yeah.
directly. I only saw Leroy once when I was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
My mother took me to Keensburg, and there was this old little cottage. And the outside was the cage from the Lion's Trick, you know, and I saw Leroy
oh, yeah.
coming down the road
yeah.
with a cane and spats and a mustache and a Homburg hat and a Chesterfield coat, and he turned the corner and never saw him again. And I knew his sister-in-law, Talma's sister, Elizabeth Fort, and that's how the scrapbooks of Leroy came to me, and I promised her I'd write about Leroy, which
right.
I did. So, things like that, you know.
Wow.
And then Neff, Dr. Mm-hmm. Neff and his Madhouse of Mystery, that happened because I was able to locate Neff's son.
Okay.
And without him, I mean, I wouldn't have the guts of the thing, because it's one thing to write a book of, about a magician where he appeared here, he appeared there, he did this, he did. But what
just
about the man?
Yes, yes.
What was he like? What you know, I mean, some of these people had terribly difficult lives,
mm-hmm.
And many of them died destitute.
Yeah, you know, Bill Meisner's book on... sorry to say Carter, that wasn't it. That was on Keller, you know.
Yes.
It was just really kind of a documentary of, you know, newspaper clippings.
Yeah,
he was
letters,
in the city or
yeah.
letters and whatnot.
Yeah.
It was not interesting from the standpoint of knowing about the man.
That's correct.
You know?
What did he eat? What did he like to do?
Yeah,
what
are some
like?
Stories?
What
things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get that, but you try.
Mm. So I know how long it takes for a book. I've done
several. Oh, yeah, it doesn't come from on high. You see, when you do a book, and I've done other books besides magic, you're really sitting telling stories to yourself, Scott.
Yes, true. Yeah.
It's a lone, not a lonely, but it's an isolated thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like being in the middle of a chapter and a wife comes and says, oh, did you pay the water bill? Oh, my God, get out. I can't.
You just yeah, ruined my train of thought.
It doesn't,
there.
It's not irrelevant. You know, you can't.
Yes.
You just get you tunnel
focus.
Vision.
Yeah.
When I did, like, Calvert, I couldn't think of anything else.
Mm-hmm. Just immersed.
And then you have to divest yourself from being Leroy-ized, Calvertized, Raymond-ized, Neff-ized.
Yeah.
You know. Okay?
And that sounds great. Well, thank you very much, and right. I've enjoyed talking with you, and thanks for those stories and everything. I hope everybody enjoyed that as well.
What are you going to do with
it? Thank you very much, Bill. Oh, by the way, this is called the Magic Word Podcast. Let me ask you, what is your magic word? Do you have a magic word that you would use in life and magic and whatever? What would be your magic word?
Hiram Abiff.
Hiram Abiff. I've not heard that one before. There you go. Thank you very much. Scotty out.